As we start a new sermon series on the book of Mark, today we'll start at the beginning of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. Scripture passage this morning is Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 12. If you'd stand this morning for the reading of God's word. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's a new year, a new opportunity for life to happen. Maybe you've gotten in the habit of writing 2025 on your checks. I don't know if I have. I've only done it once, so it'll probably take me a few more times, and I'll probably make a couple mistakes as I still think of 2024 being the year that it is. But as we enter this new year, perhaps you made some resolutions about what you wanted to do this year, or maybe some new thing that you wanted to try, or maybe it's that year that you've anticipated, that hip or knee replacement, so that you can go on and enjoy life a little bit less encumbered than you have in the past. I know it's always kind of symbolic as you take the last calendar down from your wall and you put that new one up, that just kind of feels like there's so many new opportunities, new times for things to happen in life. As we were celebrating New Year's Eve with my family, I asked my oldest niece if she had any resolutions that she had made for this year, and had to kind of explain what a resolution was. That's kind of a big word for a almost 5-year-old. And what do you want to do in this next year, I asked her. And she had just in the last couple of months took up piano lessons. So she wants to learn piano this year and to grow in that. And I thought that was a pretty good resolution to make, that you want to continue on something that you've already started. And maybe that's you. You started something last year and you want to continue it this year, and that's kind of the goal that you have. But we also know, as we're making these resolutions, making these goals, having these desires for what we want to do in this new year of 2025, that even though that calendar might change on our wall, that as we flip over to the next month, we have all of these good intentions about what we want to do in this year, but we're the same old people that we were a week ago, or a day ago, or even years ago maybe, and we bring all of that with us into this new year. I know a lot of us probably make that resolution that, well, this year is the year I'm going to get healthy again. I'm going to go to the gym and You can kind of see it if you watch the New Year's Eve in New York. They always are sponsored by Planet Fitness because Planet Fitness wants to be the one in your mind for when you go and sign up for that gym membership that is complicated to cancel once you start it. So you may or may not ever get around to that. But even though you have that good intention that you want to get healthy again, you're still kind of the same old person in the same old habits, and it's hard to change, isn't it? We try to change, and we might do it for a week or so, but then something happens, and our routine gets thrown off, and before you know it, it'll be 2026, and you might be a little bit more healthier, but probably not what you wanted it to be, because that's who we are as humans. We carry a lot of baggage with us, a lot of bad habits with us, and we hope in this new year that we can change those, but more often than not, we're kind of stuck in our own ways. We need something from the outside to help us change who we are, even if we can change who we are. That's where this good news of the gospel comes in. Mark is writing his gospel to show who Jesus is for a people who had never heard about him before, had never experienced any of who Christ was. And he's writing this letter to send off to people to give a compelling reason to believe in Jesus, that he was God's son, that he was the Messiah, who was sent into the world to redeem it and restore it and bring it back into relationship with God. And he starts out this gospel, this letter he's writing, by saying, this is the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah. He says, this is the good news about Jesus the Messiah. So he starts out saying a statement that he's throughout his letter going to expand on, and that is that Jesus is the Messiah. If you've been with us throughout the season of Advent, you know we were going back into the Old Testament and looking at those promises that are then fulfilled in Christ Jesus. And one of those promises that we get in the Old Testament is that there's going to be a Messiah that comes to earth and saves God's people from the position they are in their sin, in their brokenness, in the exile that they experienced in Babylon, that this Messiah was going to come and restore them back into relationship with God, back into his presence, back into the land that he had given to them. What Mark is saying here is that this letter that I'm writing to you, this person I'm going to show you in Jesus Christ, is this promised Messiah. He actually goes into the Old Testament to kind of show the beginning of this with that quote that he gives there in verses 2 and 3. He's quoting the Old Testament. It says the prophet Isaiah, but it's actually Isaiah and Malachi as well, that I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. So Mark gives this Old Testament scripture. Then he shows us how this Old Testament scripture comes to pass, the person and work of John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist was out in the Judean countryside in the wilderness, and that's full of imagery there for the people as they were reading this letter. If they had known anything about God's people throughout history, the wilderness was an important place. They had lived there for 40 years as they wandered in the deserts, trying to follow God and failing time and time again. The people in the wilderness knew there was something wrong with them that needed to be changed. They were set in their ways and they didn't know how to get out of it. But here, John the Baptist says that these people who find me in the wilderness, there's something coming, a Messiah coming. He's preparing the way for them by baptizing for the forgiveness, acknowledgement of sin. So here John the Baptist is in the wilderness with all that imagery behind him. He's baptizing in the Jordan River, which is kind of symbolic of the people coming out of the wilderness across the Red Sea into God's presence. This baptism that John was doing was a personal step of faith for the people, acknowledging that they had a problem in them, that they couldn't change in and of themselves. Even though they may have tried their entire life to live by the law, they knew they had failed, and they knew they couldn't do anything, but they knew that John was preaching this message that a Messiah was coming, and to prepare the way for him was to repent of your sin and be baptized by him. So many, many people were coming to John and being baptized because they knew they had a problem that they couldn't change. They were hoping, waiting for this promised one who could deliver them. John is that crazy character that about the only thing normal about him is that he had a leather belt. He had camel's hair for clothes, probably pretty scratchy, and he ate honey and locusts, which is an odd diet for anyone. I know there's a company that I sent a link to Steve for that is in Israel making these bars out of locusts and honey now. If you want to try out his meal, you can. I wouldn't encourage you to do it. But this prophet, this odd character, is the one to prepare the way for the Lord. He's getting people ready for the Messiah by having them acknowledge they need a Savior and having them repent and be baptized to prepare the way for the Lord. Fulfillment of Scripture in the Old Testament. And Mark is unique here because we don't get the story about Jesus being born like we do in Matthew and Luke. He skips all of that and goes straight to the baptism of Jesus. That as John the Baptist was going throughout his routine of preaching this message of repentance, that the Messiah is coming, that you have to prepare for him, that you have to repent of your sins in order for the Messiah to prepare yourself for him, says Jesus comes to him and asks to be baptized, and John agrees to it, and as Jesus is being put into the Jordan River and then being brought back out, it says the heavens are torn, pulled back, so that heaven and earth are closer than they've ever been. It says the Spirit, like a dove, comes down on him, and Jesus hears these words from God. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Jesus' baptism isn't one that acknowledges his own sinfulness and a need for a Savior. Jesus' baptism is a bit different, even though John the Baptist is the one to do it. Jesus' baptism is one to identify with all of humanity, that even though he is the Messiah, the one who is going to save the world, he first has to identify himself with us. He does that by walking in our footsteps. He goes out into the wilderness, that place of our own brokenness and sinfulness. He enters that. He goes with us into our baptisms, into that recognition that we as a humanity needs a Savior. And he's baptized. And in that moment of his baptism, We get to see the Trinity at work, that God from heaven says, "This is my Son, whom I am well pleased." The Holy Spirit descends upon him, anointing him for the ministry and work he is about to do. The Holy Spirit sends him out into the wilderness for a time of testing. John's baptism was one where we acknowledge that we're sinful and we need a Savior. We need that Messiah. We're drawing nearer to God there. Jesus' baptism is God drawing near us in God. In John's baptism, we're the ones to acknowledge it, to come forward to him, knowing that we need a Savior. Jesus' baptism, God through the Holy Spirit comes down to walk through our footsteps and our experience. The gospel is good news, as Mark says in the beginning sentence of his letter. He says, this is the good news about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And we just saw that he is this fulfilled Messiah through these Old Testament passages pointing to him, that he is God's Son because God has said it as he was baptized. And Mark says, this is all good news. And why is it good news? It's because it's God coming down to us. It's God walking in our footsteps in Jesus Christ so that he knows what it is to live life. He's identifying with humanity so that he might save humanity through his death and resurrection. This is good news because it's not a manual of how to live this life and hope that we get to heaven because we've lived a righteous life. No, the gospel is good news because it's God coming down to us, saving us through his own Son, even before we knew any of this. The gospel is good news because it's the only religion where everything is done for us in Christ Jesus. All that is necessary is to believe in Christ Jesus, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he lived and died and rose again for you. The good news of the gospel is good news because even as this new year rolls around and we make all these resolutions to be different people, the gospel is the one thing that transforms us by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by our will or might, but by the grace of God renewing us and restoring us each day by the Holy Spirit. So what do we do in response to this good news? Well, first, the gospel, this good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, it calls us to repentance. First, we have to acknowledge that we need a Savior. Just as those people in the wilderness being baptized by John the Baptist realized that they couldn't do it themselves, that they needed a Savior, they needed a Messiah, they identified themselves as sinners in need of a Savior, we too need to repent, to acknowledge that we are a people in deep need of a Savior, that we can't do it without one. Once we do that, the gospel invites us into a life of discipleship. So repentance isn't just turning away from your past, but it's going in the direction of God. That when you repent, you turn from your own ways, but you also follow in the footsteps of Christ, as we'll find out as we go deeper and deeper into Mark. We see Jesus bringing these disciples around him to live like he did, to walk in his footsteps, to experience ministry, and then he goes and sends them out to preach and teach the message that he gave them. That's the same life that we should have. That as God calls us out of the world, that we should follow in His footsteps, that we should learn from His teaching, and then we should go out and to share the good news of Jesus with others. And then finally, our response to this good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, is that we find our hope in Christ. That as believers, that as we look at this new year that's just starting, even though we've already experienced in this year brokenness in our world, that we have a hope in Christ Jesus, that He is at work in us individually, but also at work in redeeming the world and bringing it into right relationship with Him, that even though it might seem like an impossible task, that God is at work around us. That as Christians, we have hope that as we look around our world, that this isn't the end of things, but we know in Christ Jesus that when He comes again, all things will be made new, all things will be right, and all things will be in Christ. So what's our response to the gospel? It's repentance, discipleship, and hope. In this new year of 2025, let us hope in the gospel. Let us be disciples of Christ. Let us evermore repent and turn to Him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. We thank You that even in these opening verses of Mark, we already see a picture of Jesus as the Messiah, the promised one who would come to save Your people. God, we're thankful that at His baptism, You empowered Him with the Holy Spirit, that You came to Him announcing that He is Your Son, whom You are well pleased with. God, we thank You that we're thankful for this good news, that You have loved us, that You have sent a Messiah for us, and that we as Your people repent, believe, become Your disciples. We pray that we might do this even more and hope for that time when You will come again. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.